Welcome back to Schnepps Connects. Today, we're joined by Vanessa Yi Chan, who's the CEO and founder of Alta Dispensary. It's Chinatown's first legal cannabis dispensary located at 52 Kenmore Street in Manhattan. Alta offers a wide variety of New York-grown cannabis products with a special focus on women's wellness and lifestyle. Vanessa's mission is to destigmatize cannabis use for health and self-care. With a diverse entrepreneurial background, she also manages her family's real estate business, overseeing mixed-use buildings across New York City. Vanessa's marketing experience at Marina Mar Communications, combined with her passion for innovation, fuels her strategic vision and leadership to drive meaningful change. Vanessa's here to share her mission to empower women and to share the details on her latest venture, Alta Dispensary. So thanks a lot, Vanessa. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
These legal cannabis stores are now expanding and growing throughout New York City and New York State. But I'd love you to share just a bit about, you know, more in your background and how it led to Alta's coming to be.
Yeah, well, it started in 2020, pandemic hit, and it was about kind of strategizing and taking advantage of different opportunities. I had projects being, you know, in the process at that time and kind of switched gears because of the pandemic. So I knew legislation was coming along in 2021. And so I was like, you know, legalization is going to happen 2021. This might be a good business to go into, because I knew that in one of my properties that I had had, the 52 Kenmare Street that my family owns, retail was just really struggling. Non-payment of rent. There was a lot of issues. As a small business landlord, it's just challenging to fit in anything. And I knew that you had to put in something exceptional in order to succeed. Really generate, you know, going into and just attending industry events in cannabis in New York and really starting to build up a network organically, because I didn't have a background in cannabis. So really kind of going into it in a completely new venture and really taking advantage of, you know, the downtime that we had had and really starting to research and going into that. And so then started doing more industry events involved and really just volunteering a lot of my time to kind of build my network and kind of bringing that network to me and kind of establishing myself as, you know, kind of one of the players in this industry and, you know, going up to Albany, even lobbying, doing potency tax. So really focusing more on the political side as well and regulations.
So when did it first become an opportunity to open up a store?
I think I had already had that plan from 2020 to 2021 when I was like, I want to go for a store. So from the beginning, it was always about going for a store. And I just needed a way and a path to kind of get and making sure that I was comfortable with the industry itself, like in terms of just the knowledge, because obviously there are a lot of players in this industry. So kind of building my own knowledge about it and researching. So it just took a lot of like legwork in general for that. But I always had a plan to put a retail store, because the ultimate goal was always to put in a retail store to be able to support the building upstairs, you know, above me. And I knew that we have tenants who are fixed income and they're low income and they're rent controlled and rent stabilized. So there was no flexibility in terms of making any major capital improvements with a fixed income. So I needed something that could sustain that and offset some of those costs. So I wanted to put something, and I was like, you know, I know cannabis is coming into the industry. I thought it was a good opportunity because I have done other small businesses before. So I was like, well, this is just shifting a different audience, but very, very similar, you know, retail strategies, visual merchandising, things like that. So kind of always wanted that plan for that in general, but is more to support the real estate side.
So owning sure. that building, you know, in the heart of Chinatown there, what kind of challenges and opportunities did you face opening up the dispensary?
The community was a big part of this kind of opening. I had to really kind of really do a lot of grassroots efforts by going out and, you know, talking to the neighbors and getting letters of support even before my application. Part of the application is getting community board approval. So built into the application is that community board approval. But at the same time, I also wanted that support to make sure that I didn't get any, you know, pushback when I did eventually open. So kind of creating the community ties. So I partnered partner with a nonprofit, Send Chinatown Love. So a portion of my proceeds go to Send Chinatown Love, who supports small businesses in the Chinatown area. They also do a gift a meal program where they gift meals to senior citizens. And that was all part really important to me because this community, this area has been a part of my family since 1976. My grandparents bought it and it was a true like kind of the cornerstone of our like family real estate portfolio in general. My parents met here. My mom lived in this building. My aunts and uncles have had businesses here. My father has had a business. So it was kind of like, it's due time that I have a business in here and something that I think that I believed in, I was passionate about, you know, and that also could give back to the community as well. So all these little things, you know, being a part of the community and growing up in this community, and then at the same time also trying to give back to it. I've tried to kind of, even using the events that I've had so far since opening, to kind of reach out to the community. I have 3 or 4 events, just having more on the wellness side and just inviting people in to come and attend for either free or like next to nothing, just to kind of support.
When did you officially open your doors?
I officially opened on September 27, 2024. So
a little so just the first few months.
First few months, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what was your vision in terms of Alta, in terms of being different from other dispensaries or taking with you some of the background that you've had in your other careers?
I really focused on how I would want to shop in general. As a woman, I also wanted to differentiate myself by targeting more, having an integration of CBD and THC, but also to use it for kind of to treat some of the symptoms that women can go through, perimenopause, period pain, menopause, things like that, because cannabis can be used in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways is on the wellness side, trouble sleeping. And that's kind of where I, in terms of how I developed my passion for it, is because I only started using cannabis when later in life, in my late 30s or so. And I used it for sleep. And I do smoke every day, but I smoke every day just for me to go to sleep and to kind of counteract some of the anxiety that I've had as I've, you know, gotten older. So I thought it was a way that, you know, I'm technically just like a microdoser. I just take very low dosages to kind of counter effects and to kind of just help me sleep through the night. And I feel like that's something that a lot of women go through in general, just like lack of sleep and just worrying and all that stuff. So I really wanted to, my target market was myself, and I also don't drink. So also just to kind of a way for me to relax as well after a long day of working and stuff like that. So I wanted to have a place that felt comfortable for women to come into, women and men in general. I mean, literally 50% of my customers are men. They don't care. They think it's just a relaxing place to come to. All of my store is set up by mood. So how you want to feel at the end of your cannabis journey.
Oh, nice.
So sleep, chill, relief, focus, and vibe. So those are the sections. So I divided by sections, like where do you want to go with this THC journey that you're coming in for? Then by that, it's divided by how you want to consume vapes, pre-rolls, and flower, and then that bottom is edible. So it's all those things of kind of naturally targeting the people who are new to the cannabis market, you know, the new microdosers, really having low dosages, like 2.5 milligrams. Some stores don't even stock that because it's so low. But I was trying to, you know, really target that new cannabis consumer that's coming into New York as we are building this new, completely new industry. So I thought that that would kind of make myself stand out. On top of that, I also have everything is interactive. So you can pick up every jar, including edibles, sniff it, smell it. Everything in the package is exposed versus some of the other dispensaries have everything behind glass display cases where you can't touch it. It's every locked behind packages. You can't see what's inside. But I kind of wanted that experience of consumers coming in and really interacting with it because I felt like that would be something that I would want. And I do want, like in general, when I like to go shop, like for example, like a Sephora, I like to play with all the stuff. I like to sample stuff. So this was kind of a way to make it, well, adhering to the regulations, but at the same time, make it interactive so the consumer can, you know, access it and touch it and smell it and really see all the aspects of it. So I was able to do that with some of my unique custom design. Everything in the store is custom designed. So nice. All the jars are custom. all the thing. My kids were sanding them over the summer, just sanding all the pucks and everything that I have these little jars of all the samples and stuff like that. So they were all helping me work together. It's truly like a family business again, like my other businesses. You know, my brother helped out with he's a metal fabricator and he owns a shop in Williamsburg called Arcana Metals, and they do all this metal fabrication and millwork. So he helped me with that aspect, and my sister's doing some of the social media aspects and some of the marketing. So it's kind of really definitely a family affair.
That's good. You're all getting along. Out of all those different
Yeah.
vibes that you have set up, which one are people drawn to the most? Does one stand out more than others?
Yeah, I mean, definitely vibe. Vibe, I would say, is like the sativa. It's like the let's go and party. It's kind of a little bit of both, because and then a lot of people go for the sleep. It really depends on what you're really focusing in on. And surprisingly, we have a lot of beverages. We have THC beverages, and that also does really well because I keep it on the floor in a display case, in like a refrigerated display case. So people like to pick that up on their way out to party, and they can just, pick it up on the go. 10 milligrams, they have it, and it tastes delicious. It tastes like, vanilla cream soda or orange creamsicle, and they just pick
Wow.
it up and go. That is like a new thing that I think is just not as popular in other dispensaries, I think, because people are more used to like flower and pre-rolls and all that stuff. But it's definitely a growing category at this point.
You talked about getting involved in the industry, starting off with like education and attending events and networking. What are some other ways that you're looking to kind of let people explore cannabis products and ask questions and get more information?
For me, and in terms of my store and how I've created it, it's really focused on education. We have signage, a lot of information about signage, like how the endocannabinoid system works, how to counteract a bad high, what is the difference between CBD and THC. We have display cases where it shows what the onset time is, duration, peak time. So every customer goes out and during in their exit bag, they all receive a dosing chart. How to start your journey, like don't go too high, start low and go slow. So all that information is on like a one, like a 5x7 card that everyone gets at the exit. So education is really important. The other thing I have is I don't have kiosks. So a lot of stores have kiosks where they just order on a menu and everything. But I think that lack of interaction with an actual sales, so we call them budtenders, the sales staff, helping you can do these little like mini consultations that can really guide them to the right product for them. And that's the key, the right product at the right moment, for whatever needs you have it as. You don't want to give someone who's just starting their journey, a 10 milligram gummy or something that has a very high THC content, because they're going to have a bad experience. So really making sure that they understand what they're, the education part of it, how they should consume it, and all that really makes them come back because the recommendation was good. So my one-on-one interactions and training my staff is really key, making sure that they are welcoming the customers coming in and also giving them these little mini consults. People come back because of that. They come back because they got the good recommendation from them and they're like, oh, that's exactly what I needed. And it wasn't too high, it wasn't too crazy. And they're not like crawling on the floor where we've seen people like, oh, I've had a bad experience. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't like those gummies in general. I don't like gummies. But I think sometimes, most of the time, it's because people are like, it's like they're taking seven shots versus having a little wine spritzer, which is their levels, maybe wine spritzer, but they're taking like seven shots on their first try and they don't like it. Of course, you're not going to like it because you're just overdoing it. So it's educating people on that, those differences. And I think that there's that lack of education that we're trying to fill in.
I know sometimes it's tough opening a new business in New York City. How did you find it getting open the cannabis store?
It's a journey. I know my colleagues in this industry are just having a, it's a very difficult process. Everyone has had their, it's not simple. And it's also very unique in the way that everyone is opening at the same time within, so whether it be 6 months earlier or 6 months later, we're all rising at the same time. So there's a lot of dynamics with that. But every person that I've spoken to who has gone for a license just had their problems and issues, like obstacles. Because right
Sure.
now, because of the regulated market, it's the regulations have not been finalized even. And so there's just so there's injunctions, there's lawsuits, there's just all these, it's a little bit chaotic. I think once you're open, It's great. You know, once you've gotten that last hurdle, it's great. But I think everyone's journey has been just been a big, big challenge in general. And it's just not an easy thing to do. And, you know, it does take a lot of capital. It takes a lot of time, effort, capital, you know, so it is challenging because I know some of the applicants are have a day job, firefighters, you know, policemen, you know, who are opening up and they're trying, but it's just not an easy thing to do
Now
at
that
all.
you're open, has it met your expectations? And do you see the market having such explosive growth as people expect?
Not as much as you would have expected. I think that in general, the big players, the mid-size, you know, like travel agency who have been open for over a year already, they probably see, but they're also in general, they've been putting a lot more money into it. So they're relying on volume. So this business does rely a little bit more on volume, I think. There's the high taxation, I mean, 13% taxes. The cost is, you know, turnover time, you know, about 30 days to pay your invoices for your vendors. So all these little factors does come into play in terms of like, yes, we opened our doors without marketing and people were walking in. So that is a good base point. But to really make it profitable, you really have to put in effort to make yourself stand out, to differentiate, to because I have, and especially in my area, I am in a saturated market in that I have, so our zoning is about 1,000 foot radius right
Okay,
outside of my, that's
which
per
is
the
not that big in New
regulation.
York City or anywhere, really.
Exactly. You know that it's only like 4 blocks, maybe. But outside of that, I have 1, 2, 3 right outside of that radius for me. So there is a lot of competition in that way. You know, there is competition, there is challenges in general just because of that. And, you know, now the state, they may be also issuing variances and to encroach on that 1,000 foot radius. So I heard, you know, there is some noise that Curaleaf, a big retail operator who has a multi-state operator who has 23 states and everything may be coming in down the block from me within that 1,000 feet. So that's another battle that I'm trying to fight at this point. You know, I went up to Albany kind of fighting that, went out to the community board, went, you know, presented my case to the OCM, worked with politicians, you know, AM Assembly Member Grace Lee and New York City Council Member Chris Mart, all getting this support to support small businesses like myself, you know, to prevent some of these big box retailers. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of bureaucracy that we're all kind of having to deal with in our own ways, every dispensary, honestly. So
Yeah, sure.
that makes
Listen, it's
it
big dollars, I'm
challenging.
sure, for corporations that want to get involved in
Yes.
New York City.
Absolutely. And they see there's a potential. The problem is that it becomes a monopoly in sort of the conglomerates where they're doing mergers and M&As and they're just trying to acquire all these little small things to kind of pull together and make it. But unfortunately, in the end, that is what's happening right now. They're acquiring all these small people because
Interesting.
it's so hard to get to that level. It's so hard to even just open that. If you have a license, it's become something that you can sell and that people and these conglomerates are purchasing.
Sure. No,
And
it
because they
makes a
have
lot of
money
sense.
and they have the, yeah, they have the lobbyists, they have the money, they have the legal team to be able to afford that, you know, people are giving in because it's just so hard to do. You know, it
So,
takes a
what do you
lot of
think is
capital.
next for Alta? What would be your future plans?
My plan is to just do stay on my lane. Do what I gotta do, make it as, you know, different and unique as possible. You know, customer service is really important to me. Like I said, you know, I do have a lot of people coming in the industry, really noting the difference and really saying, oh, wow, this is really, you know, unique and special. And I'm hoping that that carries into, you know, a sustainable long-term business. You know, I'm really in it for the long term. This is such has been such a passion project for the past couple of years for me that it's not something that I want to sell. I want to just make it as successful as possible and hold on to it, you know, as much as I can,
Well,
honestly.
good for you and best of luck. And, you know, I really
Thank you.
appreciate you sharing your journey and your business.
Thank you so much. I
Oh, my
appreciate your time.
pleasure. To listen to this podcast and any of my Schneps Connects podcasts, visit podcast.schnepsmedia.com or stream us on all major podcast platforms. That was great. I have to.